AVS Media Demo. AVS Media Demo. AVS Media Demo. AVS Media Demo.
Every one of you.
I'm live, and I am your weekly host, Patricia McDowell, from the great city of Yonkers. And as you know, each week we discuss health and wealth and leading to you to the road to a healthy and wealthy lifestyle. Before we call upon our guests, I want to just talk about a little bit about some of our friends of the Drive at Five Live, and one of them is Avon. It's not your grandmother's company anymore. If you're looking to buy graduation gifts, or if you're looking for Mother's Day's gift, or Easter's just right around the corner and Passover, why don't you look at Avon? Avon has a wonderful array of colors in their makeup line. They have beautiful, beautiful jewelry. They have clothing. They have shoes. They have things for the kitchen. They have it all at Avon. And Avon is always looking for representatives. In fact, Avon, this year, 2011, is celebrating 125 years in business. And what does that mean for women? That means they have been empowering women for 25 years. They having them create the opportunity to have their own business, be the CEO of their own business, and take charge of their financial future. This Wednesday, in fact, Avon's corporation is coming to New York. They do have a New York branch, but they're coming to New York at the Madison Square Garden for their world tour to celebrate their 125 years in the business. So if you're looking for Avon products to buy as for yourself or for gifts, or if you're looking for a business opportunity for yourself or maybe a loved one or a friend, call 914-447-1089. That's 914-447-1089. Another friend of the Drive 5 is we have a new one, Elite Travel. Elite Travel is your one-stop traveling concierge. They will take your trip from the concept to the time you get on that plane, cruise line, or train. All you have to do is tell the agent what it is that you're looking to do, and they will arrange a travel adventure for you and your family, one that you richly deserve, and VIP treatment. Check out their website at NYElitetravel.com. That's NYElitetravel.com. Another friend of the Drive at Five Live is Jewels by Elan. Have you heard about the new Jewels by Elan? Well, you don't have to go anywhere but outside of your own comfort of your home or your office, because Jewels by Elan is now online. Visit them at www.jewels.com. That's Jewels by Elan. And I just said it right the first time, J E W E L E L A N jewelsbyelan.com, Jewels by Elan, and shop again for those wonderful presents that's coming up. We have these giving seasons, Mother's Day, in the second week in May, and graduation is coming up in June. And once again, we have Easter and Passover. So visit the website at jewelsbyelan.com. Arts International has a two-part system, with the summer months right around the corner. And I know all of us are so happy and can't wait to shed off these coats. However, what we've done during the winter will come out in the light during the summer. But it's not too late to start to shed some of those unwanted pounds. All you have to do is become a part of Artists' two-part system. That's the Body Magic and that wonderful drink called V. If you're interested, go to the website at bodymagictogo.com. BodyMagicToGo.com and check out the website and order some products for yourself and your girlfriend. And also, if you're interested, you can always email at Tricia, T-R-I-C-I-A, at artistny.gov, .com, and ask, can you set up a 60-day weight loss challenge program for you and your friends, neighbors, or coworkers? That's Tricia at Artist, ARDY.SSNY.com. That's Artist, ARDYSSNY.com, so that you can set up your 60-day challenge today, just in time for summer. Well, gang, we're going to, I'm so excited. We have a wonderful, wonderful individual by the name of Tasha, who is going to be on our, who's going to be our guest this evening. Tasha is very passionate about clean plate, and I hope that those who receive my email blast had the opportunity to check out her website, because it was on the website, to see exactly some of the things that she actually put together. So we're going to bring Natasha on.
Hey.
Hey, Natasha.
Hi, how are you?
Hey.
Patricia?
Hear me?
Yeah. And how are you today? Hello?
Hi, I got knocked off over my cell phone. So Natasha, are you there?
Yes, I am.
I'm so sorry about it. If I get knocked off again, just continue to talk. But it's so wonderful to have you on the show.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
And can you tell my listening audience a little bit about yourself and what it is that you do?
Sure. My name is Natasha Bernardes, and I started a business called Clean Plate Culinary. It's a business that it's long in waiting, in coming for us. This is something that I've dreamed about from childhood, and I'll just give you a small synopsis of just my journey to the place where I am now. I originally was born in Barbados, and I migrated here as a teenager in pursuit of taking culinary arts as my passion. Unfortunately, due to just different circumstances, being in this sort of very traumatic relationship and just a lot of different things in life that just took place, I was unfortunately unable to do so. But one of the great things was, by the grace of God and also a great organization that called Sanctuary for Families, I was able to start building those pieces and put everything back together again. And just different influences in my life have just encouraged me recently throughout the past years to start looking into my dreams and goals and pursuing those things. So with just the at the right time. I always believe that God never lets anything happen before his time. I was able to go back to school at the Natural Gourmet, even after I pursued my master's degree in something different, undergrad degree in something different. It just brought me back full circle to the Natural Gourmet, and I started to study food all over again. And I also took an amateur class at French Culinary as well a few years back. And I discovered just the healing power of food. And just even with my own life personally, just dealing with just a lot of illnesses and just a lot of trauma, food really helped restore life back into my body. And I just realized that food is such an amazing thing. It can be used to hurt. It can be used to heal. But if you simplify the process, I just believe that food can really help people grow and develop and just not just feed the body but also feed the soul. So some of the things that I do currently right now is I really help people balance their meals. And the reason why I am very fascinated about this meal balancing and just menu planning and educating people how to eat healthier is because I feel like there's so many fad diets out there. There's the Atkins, you know, there's Jenny Craig, and this list just goes on and on and on. And I just feel that food doesn't have to be that complicated. That's not the way God designed it. He designed food for you to just eat wholesomely great and delicious whole food, which is also a concept of the Natural Gourmet from that Anne-Marie Colvin. And you can restore the body back to health, you know, maintain a great shape, heal from different illnesses like the common cold, which science has not even found a cure for yet, and just be able to live a very healthy, balanced life. If you just understand how to just balance your meals, incorporate different flavors, different colors, and also come with delicious meals. Meals can be so delicious, you know, and I think that's kind of lost in the midst of just the standard American diet. So that's why I created Clean Plate Culinary, to really help people to just bring it back to that point where a meal was something that was simple, it was great, it was wholesome, it was fun, and it was delicious, and the entire family can enjoy.
Wow. Well, that sounds absolutely fantastic. But, you know, people, I know my listeners saying, you know, oh, gosh, that sounds fantastic. I mean, but in the real world, when I got kids, I got to run, and I got to take them to soccer, and I got to take them to school, and at the same time, I got to do a time of work, and blah, 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 and make the breakfast for the family. How can I make these meals?
Well, I mean, it's very simple. You know, a lot of times people, again, the complication of meals don't have to be large and complicated. Like, for instance, yesterday for my class, I taught the women how to cook by color. And it's something as simple as taking a piece of a carrot, not even a half, like a quarter of a carrot, you know, and a quarter of a daikon radish, about a small handful of mushrooms, you know, and just cutting those up in a little saute dice with some onions and some peppers, very small little pieces of food. And you can toss that all together, and you can actually create a meal for two. So if you have a really busy life, one of the things I suggested to the women as well is, like, listen, pick the one day that you know you have at least about the 2 hours of free time, whether it's as soon as you finish by the groceries and you get home and you unpack them, you know, and just really look at the different kind of, you know, plan a meal for the entire week, plan like 7 different meals that you want, pick up the groceries for those things, and just pre-prep everything and put them in Ziploc bags or in little containers in the fridge and mark dates. You can cut up a bunch of carrots and put them in a bag and then write, like yesterday, 4-3. So when you're busy with the kids and you're running up and down, it's just as simple as just grabbing a little bit of carrots, tossing that in some egg in the morning, a quick omelet, you know, with a little spinach, you know, in the afternoon. You can, grab the same carrots and the same vegetables, toss it together with some lettuce. You have your salad right there, you know, because food, the great thing about food and, you know, the fact that we have so much great convenience with refrigerators and just containers, you can store stuff, you know, and once you label it, it can last you all week, you know, and that will really cut your cooking time in half. You can even pre-cook rice. You know, you can cook rice today, eat brown rice and some, you know, poached chicken or some steamed vegetables, and then the next day you can take that rice and stir fry it with some vegetables and have stir-fried rice. You know, that's that simple.
Wow. I just because of my lifestyle, and I never know where I'm going to be, so I'm always running over the place. I too like to prepare my my meals ahead of time. That seems to work best for me. I use my crock pot a lot. Do you recommend using crock pot?
Most definitely, especially when you don't have time, because we all know brown rice takes forever. And there are two ways you can cook brown rice, which is very simple. One way is to use the crock pot. Not the crock pot, I'm sorry, the pressure cooker. And if you put your brown rice in there, you know, you wash it, you stir it, you know, just over warm heat, just warm your rice up a little bit, give it a quick toast. You know, if you have, for one cup of rice, I would say about 1 1/4 cups of water or nice stock, and you cover that over. You could jump in the shower, and by the time you get out of the shower in about 30 minutes, your rice will be pretty much done. Or if you don't have, like you said, a crock pot or a pressure cooker or any of those things, and you just have a regular stove, you can take your rice and throw it in a foil pan or a dish, cover it with some foil, pour the water in there, and put it in the oven and bake the rice.
Really? You can bake
rice? Yes, you can. And the good thing about baking rice is that it cooks fluffier, it cooks quicker, and you don't have to really stir it or anything of it. It's kind of like a set it and forget it. And I know a lot of times people feel like they need all these gadgets. You don't need all those gadgets. You can actually even cook rice for the entire week in the oven. So you can put like 4 cups of rice. You know, obviously you will double it to the amount of water it needs and then cover it in foil, you know, season your rice with whatever you want, a little cinnamon sticks, your salt and pepper, a little drop of coconut oil, and bake your rice.
Wow. Well, I tell you, I'm sure myself as well as my listening audience are amazed, because I've never heard of the fact that you can actually cook your rice in the oven. That is fantastic.
Yep. And the great thing about it also is when you do put your rice in the oven, it actually reduces the pot from the rice from burning, because usually in a pot what tends to happen, because I don't know if like me, but I am not the best rice cook. As much as I love to cook, rice is kind of my Achilles heel, so to speak. And what tends to happen is that the rice on the bottom cooks first, and then the top takes longer. So then what tends to happen is the bottom usually burns. But when you put it in the oven, because the air is circulating all around the oven and bouncing around off the walls, the rice actually cooks all around at the same time. So you get an even, consistent, fluffy, delicious rice. When you put it in the oven. And actually, that's what restaurants do when they're catering for huge parties. They bake their rice in hotel pans in the oven.
Really?
Yep.
Wow. You learn something new every day. Learn something. And would it be as starchy?
No, it's actually very fluffy and light, because all the water bakes out of it. Yep. And I know a lot of people don't like brown rice for that very reason, because brown rice tends to be very hard and fluffy. But like I said, if you just put simple salt, pepper, if you want to try even a cinnamon stick, a piece of clove, and just a small tablespoon for every cup of rice of coconut oil, which is very good for the body, because as you know, that's in a good fat for the body. Mm-hmm. And it just gives the rice a nice, sweet aura, and it smells like you're baking something sweet in the oven, but it makes the rice extremely fluffy. You would not even miss white rice if you eat it that way.
Wow. Do you have in mind a rice that you prefer over a brand over the other, and why?
The truth of the matter is, I am, like, experimenting with different things. I would say right now, you know, that's a funny question, because I actually would go to the store and pick almost anything. I really don't have a preference. But I know Lundberg sells a really good brown rice, and the reason why I would probably choose Lundberg first is because of the fact of just the quality of the company. I like supporting companies that are also sustainable and that they have good practices in terms of just they in terms of how they grow, how they ship, you know, how they treat the employees there, how open they are to share information, because I know that everybody's into the organic craze. And believe me,
right.
I definitely am a part of, you know, having things to be organic, because who wants to eat a whole mouthful of toxins? But one thing that I also take in mind is just the sustainability part of it, because a lot of times some of these stuff are grown in so many faraway places on Earth because they're out of season. And I think that that's something we don't take into account. So I would say Lundberg, you know, because of just their good practices as a company.
I'm not going to ask you a question, but I'm going to ask you to give me, have you thought about, because I didn't want to put you on the spot. But, you know, I'm sure that now, if not now, is going to have growing concerns about what's happened in Japan and how it relates to food that's going to be sent to the States. Are you concerned about that?
Well, you know what? I will say this. Continue. I'm sorry.
No. Okay.
You know, this is what I have to say about that. You know, our Earth is going through a lot. And I think that we also need to notice on a spiritual level just a change of times. And just, I also feel like we're also kind of getting a black backlash for all of the things that we've done. We've been very careless in how we treat the earth. We've been very careless in how we've, you know, industrialized everything for the sake of progress. And I think a lot of what we're witnessing now, whether it's in Japan, whether it's in Christchurch, in the Europe, you know, Haiti, and it just keeps going on and on every day. Pennsylvania just had a huge tornado. You know, I just think a lot of it comes from just our lack of respect, you know, and I think that all of a sudden now everyone is just drinking iodine, and I'm really concerned about that, because I'm like, iodine has such toxic ramifications to the body. And the one thing that the Japanese have discovered many years ago, even when they went through the atom bomb being dropped on them, is seaweed. And it's something that's very much overlooked. And seaweed is very powerful in binding radiation. If you go to the dentist and you get x-rays or the doctor and you come home and you just eat a small piece of nori, you can. It actually has the power to help bind a lot of those toxins out of the body, you know. And I think that that's one thing that the Japanese and, you know, Asians are very much known for, is using a lot of seaweed in their diet. And I think that's why, despite what happens in their country, they tend to live longer and healthier lives than we do. But then also, they walk more, they exercise more, they live a little bit better in terms of just their quality of life. They don't have a lot of quantity, but they definitely do have much better quality. So that would be something that I would encourage people to do, to really start incorporating seaweed into their diets to really help with all the stuff that's going on around us.
And I eat seaweed, but I have it in a salad form. What other form for my listening audience, can you suggest ways in which they can prepare the seaweed?
There's seaweed salads, which are very delicious. Like, for instance, if you take arame and you boil it in a little apple juice and sprinkle some sesame seeds, that's very delicious as well. If you do your stir fries, you can stir the seaweed in, and it gives it a really great flavor. You can put it in soup, which is my all-time favorite, seaweed soup, you know, your miso soup, you have your vegetable soup.
Love miso soup.
You know, and there's so many, you can throw seaweed on top of rice. You can just take a nice sheet of nori and you can eat it like chips. You can crumble on top of rice. You can make your own vegetarian sushi rolls or your salmon sushi rolls. I mean, it's, you can eat seaweed in so many ways. It's almost like a condiment, like ketchup. You can throw it on almost anything, and it tastes great.
Let's talk a little bit and see what time is it. Oh, okay. Let's talk a little bit about something I can't wait because I'm going to take the class myself, as I have mentioned you. Let's talk a little bit about the tea.
Kombucha. Well, kombucha tea, and I discovered kombucha this year. One of the things that I learned about kombucha tea is that many years ago, they can't trace it back to its original origins, but basically it comes a lot, they remember drinking people, they trace it back into China in the Ming Dynasty, and just so many different places on Earth, they make all different forms of kombucha tea, but basically what kombucha tea is what you call when bacteria and yeast cohabitate together and they create this disc, like, it's almost like a piece of leather, but it's like a light pink color, and it's called a SCOBY. And the SCOBY, which is a really long scientific word, I think it's symbiotic something or the other, but if you Google it, you can easily find it. But it has so many good properties. Like, the professor that taught me about the kombucha tea, his wife had lost a baby. She had a miscarriage, and she took a lot of antibiotics, and I'm sure that our viewers know from listening to your show the dangerous repercussions of taking antibiotics. You can give a baby, right, antibiotics today, and when they hit 14, 15, they can start developing all kinds of diseases and illnesses, including diabetes. And one of the things that these become, when you take the SCOBY and you put, you know, you feed it organic sugar with distilled water, it starts to ferment. And when the fermentation process is complete, it, you know, also you put in organic either black or green tea, it creates what kombucha is. And kombucha tea basically helps restore the natural flora and back into the intestines, especially if you took a lot of antibiotics or you recently went through any kind of change like a miscarriage or anything of that nature. And what that tea also does is once you start to restore the flora back into your intestines, then you increase just the circulation in the body because as far as, like, for instance, Chinese and Ayurvedic medicine is concerned, life begins and ends in the stomach, and your gut needs to be healthy. If you don't have a healthy gut, you will not have a healthy body. And most of us in the Western civilization do not have a healthy gut. So I'm so passionate about the kombucha tea and just all the different benefits it helps to just restore that flora back into your intestines to just begin that whole process of healing, that I'm going to have a class coming up in June, July. It's going to be a one-time class in Westchester, and I'm definitely going to demonstrate how to do the kombucha and just the details of the different things that it helps in terms of the body. And you just drink one glass a day in the morning, and those little probiotics just go to work.
And you said once you have the offspring, that you can, I guess, create your own tea forever and a day.
Yes. Well, the detail, and that's one of the things. That's why I'm looking forward to people coming and taking the class, because once you set the kombucha tea up, it's a tedious little process you have to do, but it usually, especially in the winter, it probably takes about 12 days for the tea to set. It can be shorter when it's warmer, but there's just a few little details in terms of where to put the tea and how to get it all set up. But then once everything is ready to be drunk, the tea usually, the SCOBY actually doubles in size, and they usually call that the mother. The mother springs a baby, and you can either give it away. Most people sell the babies with some starter tea, and then, you know, they can just keep on making kombucha tea forever and a day. But there's still definitely a little way of maintaining that mother that will keep going, because once you have it set up to make the tea, it'll keep making the tea. But then once you're done and you're not using it, you have to put it in the refrigerator to keep it in a dormant state. Because the thing about the SCOBY is that because it has, it's the bacteria and the yeast, they're actually like living organisms from just cohabitating together, and that's what causes the fermentation process. So that's the wonderful thing about it, that it can last forever and a day.
Children as well as adults.
I would give kombucha. Your question was, because you cut out for a second. I'm sure you're asking about kids with the tea.
Yes.
I would give kids the tea because it's just fermented tea. The funny thing about it is a lot of times people get so afraid of giving their kids stuff, and they say, oh, I have to talk to my doctor. Like, I remember I was telling this young lady, her daughter has inflammation in her right hip, and the child is only like 2 years old, and I was telling her to just, she really needs to look at her diet to start reducing the omega-6, which is pro-inflammatory, which encourages inflammation, which is in a lot of our foods, and to start including more omega-3 type foods and even the omega-3 supplement into her diet to kind of reduce that inflammation, get a lot of anti-inflammatory foods that are just really cause a reduction. And she was like, oh, I have to check the doctor. But the funny thing about it, we don't think twice as people when the doctor write our children antibiotics. We don't ever research and see what are the side effects. I mean, for instance, there's now a new syndrome going around. I can't remember if it's called Steve Johnson's or some weird name, but it's a new syndrome that kids have developed from taking, it's always on TV, from taking children's Motrin. And I'm like, how many times have a parent taking their child to the hospital with a fever, and they've been given children's Motrin. And now, years later, this disease has just mutated and come to pass. I mean, I think a lot of times also what tends to happen is that people, we expect people to cure us. And a lot of times we go to a doctor and we expect the doctor to kind of give us the magic pill or to cure us because we don't like being sick. But sickness is also a part of being well. I mean, things like the common cold or just different little things. If you get cut and you feel pain, that's a natural part of the body, and that's a natural process of the body's ability to heal. And the point is to restore that body. It's not a matter of not getting sick. It's a matter of how well do you heal? You know, how well can you heal without medicine? How well can it, the body's natural mechanism to heal happens? You know, and I think a lot of times we just run to the doctor all the time for the quick fix when we can just look around in our kitchen. If we have a common cold, garlic and ginger and, you know, a lot of different kind of anti-inflammatory foods can really help. Even seaweed, you know, can help with the common cold, really help you to, and you know, stay away from just dairy and white flour, and you can be right back on your feet. You know, I mean, like I said, I will always tell anybody, Western medicine has its place. If I broke my arm, I would certainly go to a doctor and get my arm put in a cast. If, you know, if I need open heart surgery, most definitely. But when it comes to just really allowing the body to have this moment, sometimes just simple rest, shutting off the TV, cell phone, and everything that has to do with outside world, and just resting and staying in bed, that's all you might need to do, and you'll be surprised of how quickly your body can restore itself back to health.
It's true. It's very true. And, you know, I tell people, you know, look at what animals do, because when animals are, when they're ill, you know, they don't continue to run all over the place like we do. They really actually just, they find a corner, and they allow the body to heal.
Exactly. You know, and I think one of the biggest damages we can do to ourselves is, I mean, I know New York City is a hard place to live, and it's very hard on the body. I mean, I migrated here from a country that is much slower in pace, and, you know, the culture is so different. But one thing I also encourage, like, there's a client who I'm working with, and I always tell people, do a lifestyle evaluation. And, I mean, I have to constantly keep evaluating my lifestyle. Do I really need that much clothes? Do I really need those much shoes? Do I need to pay that much for these shoes? Do I need to pay that much? Do I need cable? You know, and really sincerely check your lifestyle, because if you are living so far above your means and you're just, you have to constantly run yourself down into the ground. But if you kind of just take a step back and regroup and refocus and really just take a stock on what's really important, you will see your lifestyle just constantly keep changing. You know, I've had a good few people in my life that really influenced me. Like, I have a good friend. His name is Anthony Quinones, and he has actually this his own business called Repackaging, and he really helps people in their mid-30s and so help them repackage their entire life and kind of regroup and refocus. And he's actually a very good mentor of mine, and even though I'm not over 35, and he's really helped me to this really he's introduced me to, like, a Dave Ramsey program, which really helps you to get that to the point where you just use cash, you know, you stay away from these credit cards, you know, and just really, and I feel like all of that just ties right back into just being well, you know. And other people, I've had, like, other great influences, like I have my girlfriend, Dr. Rennes, she's a lifestyle coach, you know, also Kyra Harris, she's also a lifestyle coach, and they've really, you know, they have their own practices, but they really kind of set me up to understand when I'm under a lot of stress, what I need to do, how do I handle the things emotionally. Jackie Taylor, like, you met her that night, does young, you know, coaching for young girls, you know, and just teaching people how to just be confident and how to just look in the mirror and love your body, just love the creation. And that's why even on my website I have so many quotes, because you have to love your body. You have to love yourself more than anything else, because guess what? And as you know this, Pat, if you don't love yourself, who's going to love you, you know?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. It's just amazing that people can find time to do everything else, but they won't take time to, like we were talking about before, cook a simple meal.
Exactly. And I have to love myself enough to look at my lifestyle and ask myself, do I really need to make this kind of money at this kind of company? Do I need to have a company have this much amount of my time? Do I always have to be plugged into the telephone? There's times where I just shut my phone off and people call me and I'm like, they'll find me tomorrow. I'm not, you know, what can I do? You have to. Sometimes you have to sign off from the world and just enjoy you. Enjoy just the presence of this God's great creations all around you, you know, and really just give yourself a moment. Otherwise, you will just, you'll run yourself into the ground. And guess what? I work in HR during the daytime. When you die or you leave, we will get that resume and we will pick the next person and we'll just be like, next.
That's that is so true. And you know what? That has always been my mother's philosophy in terms of, absolutely. She said, well, she would go on to you, and when you retire, they give you a Timex watch. That's like really baby, I thought. But yeah, so phenomenal. Tell us about, now I know you do classes. Tell me a little about the classes that you do. What would people expect to happen once they take a class with you?
Well, right now I am in my third week of my class, and I teach a class on Sundays currently, and it's in Westchester. And one of the things that I did is I created a six-week class, six classes, one every Sunday for the next 6 weeks. And one of the first thing I did, and I actually am partnering, I should say more collaborating with a friend of mine who's a consultant, Dr. Rennes, and she's actually teaching them about lifestyle, emotional, and physical just changes to their life to reach their goals. And what I'm teaching the women is from a food standpoint, how do you change the details of your food? How do you start incorporating the different colors? How do you eat a proper balanced meal, making sure that you have your chlorophyll and your, you know, different phytonutrients in there? How do you make sure you're salty and you're spicy and you're bitter and you're, you know, sweet? Like, how do you balance it all, you know, the carbs and the proteins? How do you just really get to that point of health where if you, like one of the women in the class, she smokes and she's trying to stop smoking. How do you look at your body from that standpoint and then definitely start incorporating different foods that will cut the urges to smoke? And then how do you address it from the emotional standpoint and the physical standpoint? How do you gain that self-control and that power? So one of the things, like for instance, yesterday in the class, like I said, we learned how to cook by color, and we help. I help the woman to understand this, the benefits of having phytonutrients in your body and the different things that it does for the body, and how much of it it should eat on a weekly basis. You should have at least 5 to 7 servings of phytonutrients every single day. And a lot of times people say, oh, if I just go buy up a lot of fruits and vegetables, I'll be fine. But what kind of fruits and vegetables are you eating? If you're eating too much of the same things, then you're neglecting major parts of your body, you know. And a lot of people really don't know how to do that. They just feel like if I go to the store and grab some carrots and broccoli and, you know, some oranges and apples and strawberries, you know, I'm fine. And maybe some spinach, you know, I'm fine. But there's so much more than just eating like that. It just, it goes much deeper than just throwing a few things together and calling it food. So the, at the end result of the class is to really bring people to that point of awareness, like really understanding how to choose your food, realizing when you go to a restaurant, if you order something, for instance, like you eat the spinach and artichoke dip, that is filled with sugar, it's filled with salt, it's filled with milk, you know, and then you order a salad and then some fried shrimp and, you know, maybe some onion rings, just looking at how much carbs are you really taking in, you know, and how you've missed out on all the other essentials, you know, the fatty acids, you know, where's your protein, where's your vegetables, you know, like really understanding that you could even be a vegetarian and be a bad eater if you don't know how to balance your meals.
Wow. That is amazing.
Yeah. So even understanding the nature of raw, so when you walk away from the class, you have a very good foundation and you have a really good place to start. And if the person wants me to work with them one-on-one and I consult them personally and just really build a very consistent meal plan if they're trying to detox, if they have a disease, whether it's cancer, heart disease, you know, and they need to go on an anti-inflammatory diet, you know, if they're diabetic and they're insulin resistant, just really what I do is I extensively just study the condition, you know, and I work with them while they're working with their doctors, and I help come up with specific meal plans to assist that person with that particular need.
Wow. So I guess before a person would sign up for your class, I guess there's an assessment that they have to go through.
Yeah. Well, when we have the first class, we do a welcome, and, you know, we explain what will happen over the next couple of weeks. There's definitely forms to be filled up because I need to know what you're allergic to because we will be cooking in the class, and we do cook different meals. My very first class, I do definitely do teacher's annotation, and the reason for that is because, as we all know, again, you know, health really deals, you know, a lot of your major health is really connected to your stomach, and a lot of times people do a lot of little things that don't even realize is extremely unhealthy and creates a lot of bacteria that causes a lot of diseases.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, you know, we have a tendency to cook. Don't wait till the food cools down and we throw it in the fridge. But little do we know that that hot pot actually heats the entire fridge up. And realizing that once the fridge hits that danger, you know, any food that hits that danger zone between 41 and 135 degrees, it is prime, including vegetables in some instances, to create bacteria. You know, and you can, the fridge can cool back down, the freezer can cool back down. Bacteria and certain bacteria and certain viruses can live under freezing temperatures, and they can live under very hot temperatures. you know, and just really helping women to understand that foundation. Whereas the woman who's consulting with me now, she definitely helps people to weigh them in, teach them about their body mass index, and just, you know, setting goals for yourself and really understanding how to really reduce emotional stress.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
No, I was going to say continue, sorry.
Oh, okay, no. So this, did you explain, you touched on it a little bit, and I know once I had a guest on the line who talked about raw diet, and I can ask some of the calls about that. Can you tell me a little bit more about raw diet? Why is that beneficial?
Well, I am definitely a believer in raw when and within moderation. I feel like everything should be taken into moderation. For instance, when I get a really bad cold, I love this raw lemonade that's made by Natalia Rose, and it has in just kale, celery, two lemons, apples, ginger.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the great benefits of this tea is to just really help reduce a lot of the inflammation that would grow once you catch a cold, because inflammation obviously causes the congestion, it causes the coughing, you know, it can cause just a lot of stress to the body. One of the great benefits of raw is detoxification. If you're definitely looking to detox the body, you know, raw actually helps with that. It helps you to push a lot of the toxins out of the body. Now, the interesting thing that people don't realize that raw is also much of a challenge, and it's very, it has its good and its bad, because if you do a very strict raw diet, you will find yourself tend to be cold a lot, especially in the winter, and you make your body very vulnerable, because the thing about your digestive system, it's very delicate and it's very complex. You know, for instance, if you eat a piece of raw broccoli in the winter, now all the heat has to leave most of the part of your body to get to your stomach in order to break that food down. And what then tends to happen is that the rest of your body will get cold because it takes a lot of energy to break raw food down. What is actually advisable, especially if you have, if your person like myself used to be catch colds quite easily and just suffering with different things like asthma and just chronic illnesses, I would tell people to just bring some of their food up to temperature, whereas you can either use a dehydrator and just bloom or sprout the food, or you can bring it to temperature where it stays under 118 degrees, where you just barely add heat to it to soften it up, because again, if you have a very weak stomach or you're sick a lot, I wouldn't advise you to eat all raw. I would advise you to eat raw along with other foods into your diet.
Okay. So I know one person who I think she's strictly raw, but I met another person who says they eat raw once a day. Would that fall in what you're saying?
Say, you know what, it depends on who you are and how strong you are in terms of your diet. I would eat more raw in the summertime only because of the fact that, you know, salads and just light foods are really great in hot climates because they're cooling, and that's the whole thing. It's about the warming and cooling process, and I know, you know, again, it will be good to have maybe, I would eat one cooked meal a day maybe in the summertime because it's so hot. Like, I would want to just hydrate my body a lot. And so I would just probably want things that are raw that will take longer to digest, longer to break down, and it will just kind of sustain me for the whole day so I won't constantly be hungry. But in the winter, when you go through that whole process of everything is closed and cold and everything's kind of growing in and inward and deep, you know, which is kind of one of the elements of Chinese medicine, I would try to eat stuff that is more cooked and more warming, just to keep my body warm, to kind of maintain that even heat throughout the body so that I wouldn't make myself so susceptible to different kind of colds and, you know, flus and all the other crazy things that happens during the winter.
Oh, okay. So that's what's your take on bottled water?
Boiled water.
And because you deal with a lot of vegetables, I'm sure you're cooking with a lot of water. So do you boil your water before you cook, or do you use bottled water? What do you do?
Again, I just keep it very simple. I don't start cooking with hot water, honest to God, in terms of from the pipe, because I know the pipe is full of just lead and rust. So when I catch water to cook my vegetables, I just take regular tap water. I mean, I have filters. When it comes to my water in terms of drinking water, I do use filters. I have a stand filter. Hello, I'm sorry. I have a little stand filter where I have my room temperature cold that I filter all the time. I also have a filter on my pipe, and that's only for my drinking water. But in terms of cooking, I just catch water from the pipe, and I just put it on with my sea salt, and I just start cooking. I don't do anything. There's so many things wrong with everything. For instance, when you think about bottled water, they're now saying that a lot of the plastics have the BPA in it. So when the water is sitting in the supermarket, they're saying that BPA can be leaching into your water. So if you're a person who has astigmatism water, you might think, oh, my gosh, it has chemicals. How else can it stabilize itself sitting there on top of a shelf? And it's the same thing with the water coming out of pipes. It will have an issue. So it's kind of like a catch-22. So I just tell people, keep it simple. Filter your drinking water, especially if you have children, because you don't want to take that much chlorine and lead and all the other stuff in plain drinking water. But when it comes to your cooking, once you boil that water and it reaches a boiling point, a lot of the stuff just boils away, so you're good to go.
I know that a lot of my audience, and I hear it even when I'm in the community, people really want to do the right thing. They really, really, really want to eat healthy. But they say it's just too expensive.
Yeah.
And they really don't know where to go. What do you say to a person that, who really wants to do the right thing, really want to eat healthy? What do you say to these people?
I'm glad you asked that question, because that's one of the main reasons I got into when I started this business. Because I just started to look around, and one thing I've noticed is that a lot of the healthy supermarkets, the healthy stores, everything that's about health, about holistic and organic, usually resides in areas that with people who have a lot of money from a socioeconomic standpoint. And I just got to the point where I was just like, okay, people who don't have it need someone who is willing to just work with them where they are and help them to get going. And, there's so many ways. Like, for instance, right now I offer, and I'm going to have one coming up this month, where I do a supermarket shopping tour.
Oh.
And I help the person go through the aisles, look at the different things they like to eat, and I teach you how to read the labels, look at your shopping cart. Because one thing that we do in Western civilization is just an overabundance of everything, and even like one of my clients I'm working with now, I always ask her, do you need that much food? How much food are you throwing away on a daily basis, on a weekly basis? How much meat do you really have in your freezer? Because the thing about it is a lot of times we store meat and different things in our freezer for months, even years. Should you eat fish when it stays in the freezer for 2-3 months? That fish no longer has any beneficial value to you.
This is very true.
And I actually, and for my sanitation class, I actually have a chart that I got from the food handlers department that shows you how long you need to keep your meat in your freezer and your refrigerator and when it no longer is fit for consumption. So I help people to just kind of, again, redefine what it means to eat. Do you need that big of a portion size? Because if you eat holistically and you eat most of your stuff, you don't have to eat every single thing organic, you will significantly reduce your hunger because your food is more balanced and your body is getting what it needs. And there will be no desire to buy that much food. You buy what you need for your every 2 weeks, every week, whatever, how you shop. And then you just replenish the little small things that perish easily. And one of the things I also teach the women as well, especially even the shopping tours, is how to store your herbs and your leafy greens and keep them from spoiling. Well, you can keep them in your fridge for 3 weeks by just simply wrapping them. Yeah, but just simply, buying brown paper towels or even your bounty towels and just dampen it and just wrap it around your vegetables in terms of your lettuce and your kale, and your thyme and your mint. If you wrap your stuff in paper and then you put it back in the same shopping bag that you brought it in, a little produce bag, your stuff will last you at least 2 weeks.
Wow. I never knew that. So will you still store the vegetables in the vegetable container in the refrigerator?
Yeah, the little clear bags. I know Whole Foods actually has the gray ones, and some places give you little white ones. The little bag that you rip off when you're in the produce section. What I tend to do, even with potatoes, is I'll wash them off because people don't realize the skin on the potato is edible and it's quite beneficial for the body. And, wash your stuff, wipe, let it air dry, and then wrap it in, you can tie it back up in the bag. But when it comes to the leafy greens and your herbs and spices, they love to be wrapped in just a damp towel, and they last so much longer that way.
Wow. That is absolutely, absolutely amazing. And, I always wanted to have an herb garden, and I'm sure there's other people just like me. What kind of herbs would you suggest for my listening audience that they can start off with to have a nice herb garden?
Well, it's interesting you say that because I think you're tapping into all the different things I'm doing. I'm actually starting my herb garden this week because, and I actually told a friend of mine who I'm helping her start her herb garden that I'm going to actually have a class and teach people how to, create a small herb garden, very inexpensive little class, and we're going to go to Home Depot together, put out little seedlings, show you which plants grow well together and which plants thrive together, and just have your small little herb garden that you can easily stick in your windows if you live in an apartment building. If you have a small patio, you can put it in the front of your patio, and how to water your plants every week with just plain water and just really maintaining your herbs. Stuff like basil. Basil, it's like a weed. It grows like wildflower. You can get a small pot and have your basil all year round. Have it outside in the summer, and then when it gets cold, bring it inside, and you can have delicious all kinds of basil stuff, basil pasta, basil sauce, just not even basil tea, I would tell people you can grow almost anything. On my patio, I've grown sweet peppers, jalapeno peppers, and I grew tomatoes, and I grew a cabbage. And the funny thing about the sweet peppers, they didn't get as big as I wanted them to, so I gave them actually to a friend of mine's mom. But I actually got some tomatoes, I got jalapenos, and I actually was able to have a nice big cabbage that my birds enjoyed all summer. But I actually got a really nice sized cabbage, and you can even grow romaine lettuce on your patio or even in your window because they have pretty shallow roots.
That is fantastic. Now, for my listening audience, if they want to take your class, how would they get in contact with you? How would they know about these classes, these wonderful classes that are teaching? Can you provide for my audience?
Sure. Well, you just go on the website. That is www.cleanplateculinary.com. And there's a form on the bottom, so you just plug in the information, plug in your interest, and then I will get back to you with the class schedule. I'm also going to post a lot of the classes online going forward as well once I plan the dates and time. All of my services are also on the website, and there are links there that you can click on to see the special services if you need them. Mm-hmm. You can also reach me at 347-644-8306. And you can contact me, leave a message, and I will get back to you. And I can definitely set up a consultation or whatever services you need.
Well, thank you for that. I tell you, I don't know where the time goes. When my guest is on the show and we start talking, the next thing I know, an hour has flown by. And Natasha, I mean, you were a wealth of information, and I would love to have you back on the radio show.
Thank you, and I would love to be back. I enjoyed just speaking with you and just teaching people about just really how to be healthy. That's actually my calling and my goal in life.
Well, thank you so much, and I look forward, and I will, you know, send you an email, and we can sit down and decide on what date in which you can come back and be a guest.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Until then, have a good week.
Same to you.
Thank you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, again, this is another week where we have a fantastic guest who provided wonderful information. And I'd just like to just thank each and every one of you for being a part of the Drive at 5 Live, which airs every Monday from 5 to 6 p.m. And we're looking forward, and I have our next guest next week. And as you know, the email blast will go out. If you're not on the email list, then just give me your email. NYSSN.com. That's Tricia, T-R-I-C-I-A, at artist, ARDYSSNY.com. Have a fantastic and a healthy week. Take care, everyone.
AVS Media Demo. AVS Media Demo.